From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fifth message in an intensive study of the book of Romans. Paul had referred to the gospel he preached as the gospel of God. There have been those who have taught and continue to teach that Paul's gospel was somehow unique to him, that it had little or no relation to the rest of Scripture, particularly to the Old Testament. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Having established that the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel of Christ, Dr. Cairns has emphasized the fact that there's an undeniable connection between the Old and the New Testaments, that the Old Testament promises are fulfilled in the New Testament. Christ is the principal theme all the way through the Scriptures, and this is what Paul preached. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message called One Bible, One Gospel. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, We Receive as We Give. The text is Matthew 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It is not meet that the man who will not forgive should be forgiven, nor shall he who will not give to the poor have his own wants relieved. God will measure to us with our own bushels, and those who have been hard masters and hard creditors will find that the Lord will deal hardly with them. He shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. This day let us try to give and to forgive. Let us mind the two bears, bear and forbear. Let us be kind and gentle and tender. Let us not put harsh constructions upon men's conduct, nor drive hard bargains, nor pick foolish quarrels, nor be difficult to please. Surely we wish to be blessed, and we also want to obtain mercy. Let us be merciful, that we may have mercy. Let us fulfill the condition, that we may earn the beatitude. Is it not a pleasant duty to be kind? Is there not much more sweetness in it than in being angry and ungenerous? Why, there is a blessedness in the thing itself. Moreover, the obtaining of mercy is a rich reward. What but sovereign grace could suggest such a promise as this? We are merciful to our fellow mortal in pence, and the Lord forgives us all that debt.
Fill all the earth below.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
that any system of theology that is based on the notion of a basic discontinuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament is a false system. On the very face of it, when the Holy Ghost is saying, in the Old Testament Christ is proclaimed in promise, in the New Testament Christ is proclaimed in person as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, then any system that bases its whole outlook on a discontinuity rather than a continuity, rather than a development of the new out of the old, is patently false. So when you turn to this New Testament, you find that wherever, for example, Paul went, he expounded the Old Testament to do what? To preach Christ. To preach Christ. I couldn't tell you over the years the number of times people have come to me and said, this has opened up the Old Testament to me in a way I never saw before. All I ever saw in the Old Testament was history, lists of names, events that people told me, taught me principles to live by. But I wasn't seeing Christ. It was always a big leap from the Old Testament to the New. Wherever Paul went, remember, the only text of Scripture he could ever take to preach Christ were from the Old Testament. We read in Acts chapter 13, at verse 32, we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Turn over to Acts 17. And there you will find in verse 2, that the apostle, verses 2 and 3, Paul as his manner was. Now notice that. This is not a flash in the pan, it's not a one-off thing. This is the usual. This is Paul's standard behavior. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He went through the Old Testament and he showed them Jesus Christ. Now that means that anybody who's preaching the Old Testament to you and he's not showing you Jesus Christ is not preaching the Old Testament as the apostles preached it and as the Old Testament is meant to be preached. Isn't that clear? Preaching Jesus Christ, but he was showing the necessity of the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And he was showing the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the message of the Old Testament. And wherever Paul went, this is how he preached. We turn over in Acts chapter 20 to chapter 26 and verse 22. Here Paul is standing before King Agrippa. And he's giving his testimony. Wonderful thing to be able to do, isn't it? Standing on trial for his life, and he can give his testimony. And he's saying here, having therefore, verse 22, obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great. Now watch this carefully. Saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Paul is saying every detail of my message is firmly rooted in the testimony of the Old Testament Scriptures. In the last chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 33, we read of Paul where he's in Rome, now a prisoner, and he's gathered the leaders of the Jewish community in Rome about him. When they had appointed him a day, there came unto him many to his lodging, Now listen carefully. To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So I'm not the longest-winded preacher that's ever been. You see what he's doing? And I think, you know, that Paul was very conscious of the fact that in doing all this, he was in the best of company. Because he was simply doing what the Savior himself had done. When the Lord Jesus Christ met the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, immediately after his resurrection, though they didn't know that he was risen from the dead, what did he say to them? Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You ever think there are times in history you'd like to be able to visit? If there was such a thing as a time machine, if you could transport yourself back to be a fly on the wall, really witness and look and listen, where would you choose to be? Well, there are many places I would love to go, but that one would be very near the top of the list. To hear the Lord Jesus open the Scriptures, begin at Moses, go all the way through the Old Testament, and show them himself. That's the connection that Christ established between old and new. Later on, he did the same thing in the upper room, verse 44, when the disciples were met together. He said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The three divisions of the Old Testament are given there. That's actually a technical description of the Old Testament scriptures, the Tanakh, the law, the prophets, the sacred writings, or the Psalms. Jesus says, you take your whole Old Testament, and the things which are written there concerning me must be fulfilled. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's the very missionary program of Paul in the early church. That's the gospel of Paul in the early church. And Paul preached it everywhere he went, saying to the people, see the promise, now see the fulfillment. And he says, this is my way of preaching. But when we look, we find it is actually a replica of the Savior's way of preaching. That connection, by the way, between the Old and the New Testament obviously recognizes the authority of the Old Testament. The apostles, even the Lord Jesus, when they came, there's a whole lot could be said if this were a lecture in theology, which it's not, so I'm not going to get into it, but when they came announcing new revelation, they didn't just come saying, here's new revelation, just drop prepackaged out of heaven, there it is. Oh, they did bring new revelation. But, you see, this is one of the marks of divine revelation. And by the way, this is one of the reasons you know that the so-called revelations that come from the delusional charismatic movement are not revelations of God at all. Every new element in divine revelation is intimately and organically linked to the revelation that goes before it. So that divine revelation is always a controlling influence on everything that comes after it, pretending or professing to come from God. When the Lord Jesus came along, what did He do? He appealed to the Scriptures. And that appeal means, look at your Old Testament. He said to the Jews, search the Scriptures. And if you find that the Scriptures of the Old Testament deny and defy what I am saying, then what I am saying is not divine revelation. That's His argument. The Lord Jesus Christ never sought to establish anything apart from the authority of the written Word of God. The Apostle Paul was exactly the same. When he went preaching, he knew he was inspired of God to preach this. He knew that what he was writing was Scripture. What's more, the apostles knew that what he was writing was Scripture. Peter refers to the writings of Paul as Scripture on the same level as the Old Testament being the writings of God. But yet, how did he establish it? By referring to the Old Testament. You see, I want you to understand this very, very clearly. That anything that comes to the Church of Jesus Christ pretending to be divine revelation that can't be established from the written Word of God. And I emphasize written, because the Old Testament prophets spoke before they wrote. But Paul's appeal is not to what they spoke, it's to what they wrote. The testimony is established in the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Writings. Anything that appears before us as divine revelation that's not firmly rooted in the written Word of God is a satanic lie, a counterfeit, and a bogus. You just contrast that standard with the vaporings of the Church of Rome, her popes and her councils, who pretend to be able to come and without Scripture establish as a burden upon the conscience, and especially to make it essential to salvation, a whole history and host of follies and inventions and innovations that have absolutely no basis in the written Word of God. That's the authority of the Old Testament. But do you see the identity of the message? Paul is saying, get this, my message is identical with the message of Moses. My message is the same message as the message of Isaiah. My message is the message that God promised to the Old Testament, and now He has fulfilled it. Charles Hodge put it beautifully when he said, the gospel which Paul was sent to preach was the same system of grace and truth which from the beginning had been predicted and partially unfolded in the writings of the Old Testament. Here's the connection: promise and fulfillment.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.